Stay tuned now for Spotlight Indianapolis with your host, Glee Renick-May.
Good morning. I'm Glee Renick-May, and this is Spotlight Indianapolis. Please welcome to our show today a very special guest, Indiana's First Lady, Karen Pence. We're going to get a closer inside view of Karen's life, her passions, and her work experiences, including her family values and more. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
Welcome to Spotlight and happy holidays to
happy
you.
Happy holidays
especially.
To you, too.
So nice to have you on our show. Thank you. I know how busy you are, and it's fascinating, you know, what you do to me. I just think it's so exciting to have you on my show. This is the first time, and I'm a little bit nervous, but I think we're going to do okay. I want to begin our discussion to learn more about Karen. You know, Karen, growing up in Indiana. Tell us more about where did you live and where did you attend school?
Well, you know, Glee, I grew up pretty much in Broad Ripple. And right there where all the shops are now was kind of my playground when I was growing up. And ended up going to Chatard High School and went to Butler University. So the whole near north side is a very familiar place to me. But that is pretty much where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. So you have siblings, I'm sure, brothers and sisters. Tell me about your family, parents,
yes.
Your life. How things were?
Well, I am the third. There were three girls, and I was number three. And then my mom remarried and had a son and a daughter. And so that put me kind of the oldest in that group. And then out of the whole crew, I'm in the middle. So I feel like I have all of those oldest child, middle child, youngest child things
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about your memories, some of your favorite childhood memories, especially during this time of the year, about how did you and your family celebrate the holidays mm-hmm. and things that you did and,
well, you know,
and some of those traditions.
We've kind of always had the tradition of New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve is a big night. And so we do a lot.
And this is you growing up
growing
in your
up,
childhood.
Yeah,
okay.
Growing up, we usually would go to Mass and the midnight service. I remember one year when my little sister was in kindergarten and she got to bring the baby Jesus down the aisle and put him in the manger, and that was a big deal. But I actually grew up playing guitar in guitar groups at different churches around the city, and so it was a lot of fun with the group to always have some kind of special program that we practiced on. Sometimes we'd have trumpets, and so I remember that a lot, that Christmas Eve was a big deal. We would have a nice meal. My stepdad is Italian, and so we always would have Italian Christmas Eve dinner, still do. And then Christmas morning was more just the stockings that Santa would bring. So we did a lot of the opening the night before. And we really had a tradition growing up that Mike and I have carried on to our own family, that my daughter was reminding me of today, that we always opened presents one at a time. And so it wasn't like a mad dash for presents, but we would actually take our time and each person would open their present and everyone would watch them. So Christmas Eve was kind of the big deal mm-hmm. at our house growing up.
What were some of the things that your family did in terms of remembering those that were in need during the holidays when you were growing up?
Well, you know what? We kind of had a tradition of working at the St. Vincent de Paul. You know, we'd volunteer there. We'd bring things to St. Vincent de Paul, volunteer at the soup kitchen down there. My mom was actually started the Village Sampler newspaper in Broad Ripple. And so
interesting.
She was a member of Kiwanis, very active. And then she always would ring the bell as well, the Salvation Army bell. And so just those kinds of things that I think it's important at this time of year to remember those who are less fortunate.
What do you think your parents, as far as values, what do you think that you picked up and learned from them as a child growing up?
Well, family's always been very important. We always had, and I think probably the biggest value that I took from them growing up is having family dinners. And even back then, it was difficult to get everybody together. Everybody had their activities and lessons and jobs. But we tried to have the sit-down family dinner. And I think that's a time where, you know, you, I think I learned that I need to listen to everybody else talk about their day and then share what's going on in my life. And I just think that part of give and take, caring for others, even at the family table, was a big value that that I took.
Well, of course, this is a very fun question. How did you meet your husband, Governor Mike Pence? I'm ready for this story. This was fun.
This is a great story.
This is a great story.
Because it's so interesting that we met across the street from the governor's residence. I know. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. But I did, you know, as I told you before, I played guitar. And so I played guitar in the guitar group at St. Thomas Aquinas. And Mike came up after church one Sunday and said he wanted to join the guitar group, which actually wasn't true. The first thing he said to me was a lie, which I never let him forget. But actually, he could have followed up because he does play the guitar. So, but
acoustical. Yeah,
yes. We both do. So I said, well, you know, you talk to the guy over there with the beard. And he just said, I'm Mike Pence, and found out where I was teaching. At that time, I was teaching at Orchard Country Day. He was in law school, and my sister was in law school as well. So he decided to find out more about me by calling up my sister. So he got her information at law school, called her home to see what's the scoop on Karen. Is she available? I mean, I think it's really a roundabout way, but, you know, we didn't have text back then. So, but he called her home, and lo and behold, she and her husband were interviewing out east, and I was there babysitting her kids. So I answered the phone, and when he found out it was me, he hung up.
He hung up?
He hung up, and his buddy said, what happened? Why'd you hang up? And he said, well, Karen answered. And he said, well, if Karen answered, why don't you call her back? So he called me right back, and that's when I said, well, you know, I'm watching the kids for a week. Why don't you join us and go ice skating Friday night? So our first date was ice skating at the Coliseum.
Very, very fun. Are you guys good ice skaters? You still do ice skating?
We're average. We
average?
Do.
We do?
Yes,
you
we
still
do.
Ice skate.
We do still ice skate, yep.
Fun. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so how long now have you guys been married?
This June, it'll be 30 years.
30 years. And tell us more about your kids, Michael, Charlotte, and Audrey. I know they're all college age.
Mm-hmm. They are all college age. Michael will be actually graduating from Purdue in December. And so then he will head off to the Marine Corps. So we're kind of proud of him. He's a pilot, had a fabulous career at Purdue learning how to be a pilot. And then our daughter, Charlotte, is a junior. She's studying digital cinema, storytelling, creative writing. She's just a fabulous storyteller. And then our youngest, Audrey, actually, she did an internship here at Emmis this summer. She's interested in radio and journalism and international affairs. So she's kind of our international one.
Sounds great. If you are just tuning in, I'm Glee Renick May, and you're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis. I'm talking with Indiana's First Lady, Karen Pence. Your kids, what kind of values do you have? I mean, what do you feel that you and Mike have instilled in these kids? What would you say?
You know,
I know all kids have different personalities and different traits, and I'm sure they do.
They really do. Our three are all three very different, and we have a lot of discussions at our home. You know, Mike really feels it's important that, you know, kids as they grow up, they develop their own belief system. I mean, you can instill in them your beliefs and train them and share your values with them. But really, at the end of the day, it has to be their own. And I think that's one thing that I would say all of our kids would say is that we really gave them the freedom to be their own thinkers. But as far as values, family values are very strong in our family. We tried to have the sit-down dinner as well as many nights as we could. Sometimes when Mike was in Congress, we would even take dinner to the Hill, and we would have tacos, you know, sitting on the steps of the Capitol, because we really felt like that time of the day, the dinner hour, is a time when you really want to, you know where everybody is. How's everybody doing? What happened today? How are things going? And so for us, that was always important. But remember, you know, with Mike's career, he always had a lot of things pulling at him. But our kids, I think, would all tell you that there were times when, you know, he might have an opportunity to go to an event where the president was going to be. But he would, I remember him telling Charlotte in particular when she was about 7 or 8, Charlotte, I have a chance to go do this event with the president tonight, but I know this is your very first violin recital, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. And so they knew if it was something really important to them that they came first.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're already responding to my next question, because I wanted to talk about life. Living in Washington, D.C., we had talked about that when Governor Pence was served in Congress. I'd like to hear more about what that was about, you know, what some of the people you met and special events, any particular experiences while living there. What was it like? Share with us a few minutes about life living in Washington, D.C.
I think we got the best of both worlds, because we also had our home here in Columbus. And so our kids kind of had the advantage of both worlds. You know, our home here was on the Flat Rock River in Columbus, and they could go swim in the river and have a cornfield in their backyard. And so they got to have that, you know, Midwest feel of growing up. But in Washington, it was important to us that they would have as normal of a life as possible. We lived in a neighborhood in Virginia that had 22 kids. And so it was important for us. I mean, we had a basketball goal in the street in front of our home, and everybody came to our house to play basketball. And, you know, it was one of those neighborhoods where every house looks exactly the same. And so we would joke with the other moms, you know, our kids could go in any house. They knew where the restroom was. They knew where the refrigerator was, because all of our homes were the same style, you know, out there. So, but our kids had a very normal upbringing, but on the same hand, they also had the advantages of growing up in our nation's capital. And so, you know, there's a tradition on the Hill that when the members of Congress are voting, their children up to age 13 are allowed to go onto the floor and actually push the voting button. The spouses are never allowed on the floor, but the children up to age 13 are. And so our kids got to actually go sit in the well of Congress, hear bills being debated, and then Mike would put his voting card in and tell them, you know, push green for yes or red for no. And they really understand government. And I think that's just because they were raised that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like our son's best friend in Virginia, his dad was the president's doctor. And so our kids didn't grow up feeling like, oh, I'm something special or my dad is famous, because out in Virginia, he really wasn't. You know, everybody's parents worked on the Hill or worked at the Pentagon or, you know, chief of staff to this person or that person or in the cabinet. And so it really was just kind of a normal thing for them growing up.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Some of the people that influenced you living there in Washington, I'm sure that there are some events, some situation or experiences you had.
You know, I think the thing that people don't realize about Washington is that it's really just a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, I taught at the school that my kids went to. I was the art teacher.
Oh, so you were teaching
there. Yes.
At that time. Great.
So I taught part-time. So I was their art teacher. And so for me, I had that benefit that as soon as we were settled there, I had a network right away. And it really was the school network. Because, you know, members of Congress are in and out all the time. One of the projects I took on was the spouse orientation. And so as new members come to Congress, we would have one full day where we would orient the spouses. And we have a clubhouse in D.C. And so we would have a lunch and we'd have a full session for those spouses, men and women. And to be able to explain to them, you know, we are your network, but you really need to have other people out here, because sometimes you'll come to to the hill, and you might be here for a week or two, and no one else is here that you've made friends with in the spouse club. So it's important for them to kind of have a network going. But I really felt like that was a way that I could reach out. I'm someone who actually was there most of the time since our kids went to school in D.C. So I could say, you know, here's my phone number if you're, you know, concerned or you don't know what's going on, what is this event or that thing that you're invited to, just give me a call. Mm-hmm.